This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hour number two. The Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Tommy Wirtz in for Mitch Thunder Nellis. Mason Crosby, of course, here as well. Mason's my last hour, and then I get to go home.
Oh man,
today.
A little weekend. Yeah.
Yeah,
like, what do you got for the weekend?
Nothing, and it's awesome.
Like, that's gonna be nice.
No obligations. I'll have the Green Bay football post game show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer after the game. I can guarantee we will be talking probably more about the following week as opposed to the week that actually happened.
I'm assuming that so. Show. Hey, and at least that will be at, you know, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Instead of your late nights that you've been crushing the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Me and Sparky afterwards. Ryan Wood joins us always, so that's always fun. But just trying to I feel like I've been trying to get some feelers out there that, like, hey, let's make this game not meaningless.
Yeah.
All with no success. Like, everyone's like, who cares? I don't want to watch this game. It's a great week to go ice fishing, like, during this.
Well, do you think Eli has... Yeah, let's see if he can get us excited for this week.
Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. You can find his work at Packer Report, 24/7 Sports, as well as Book of Eli _NFL on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. It is Eli Berkovich joining us here. Eli, first of all, how was the new year? How was the holiday season, Hanukkah, Christmas? How did it all go for you there, Eli?
It was great. It was a good time. Spent some time with family, obviously. You know, Packers football could have been a little better around the last few weeks, added to that, but still overall a good time. And yes, while on paper, Sunday's game may be meaningless, but I still think there's plenty of interesting things to look at and things that we can project then into the playoffs, hopefully, from what we see on Sunday.
All right. Well, you said it. So, yeah, Eli, lead us there. What can we look for on Sunday that can kind of get us heading into the playoffs on a positive note?
Well, I think we got to start with the newest Packer, Trayvon Diggs. You know, I think obviously expectations need to be tempered, but this is a guy that has had some very, very good success in the NFL before. And we've seen the Packers bring in players that may be on a downturn in their career and find some more success in Green Bay. And I hope that they do have him playing Sunday. I don't see why they wouldn't. You really have nothing to lose by playing him. And, you know, see what he can do, even see what Bo Melton can do at corner. I mean, there needs to be some answers there at cornerback right now. And I don't care who it is, whether it's Diggs, Melton, Jalen Simpson, Bartholomew. I just want to see what the secondary can look like with some new blood.
Does it feel a little irresponsible that this is week 18 and they're doing all this, Eli, right now? That, like, this was not a problem that they just continue to, like, shove it down. Like, oh, no, the offensive line stinks. Oh, no, they need to figure out the defensive line. And then all of a sudden now, hey, they're signing Trayvon Diggs, because no one else can play the position all of a sudden, and it's the last game of the year.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that the secondary was helped so much by the pass rush, where opposing offenses, their whole game plan was, we need to get rid of the ball as soon as physically possible. So it was dump offs, it was screens, it was quick little out routes, quick slants. And now that offenses have time to throw the ball, we're starting to see the real deficiencies in the secondary, mostly with the cornerback group. Obviously, you know, McKinney and Williams have been pretty fantastic at safety, but, like, that's all we, you know, everyone talks about, oh, we're not getting to the quarterback, we're not sacking the quarterback. But I think maybe even the bigger effect of not having Micah Parsons is the fact that now the secondary is being exposed, because instead of covering for 1.5 to maybe 3 seconds, they're covering for 3, 4, 5 seconds, and they just don't have the ability to hold up in coverage for that long. So doing all this in week 18, I think at Matt LaFleur's press conference, there was like 15, they're talking about like 15 different transactions over the last week or so the Packers have made. It's been a wild week, but at the end of the day, just because you lost Micah Parsons doesn't mean you can just give up on the season. They went all in before the year started, and they need to do their best to at least try to give themselves a chance to actually compete in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? And we've talked a lot, and I don't want to, like, you know, trash on Rashawn Gary here on the show, but I was just looking at even some more stats. I mean, 1.6% you know, fast pressure rate, whereas somebody in, like, his position, the amount of snaps, like, I think, like, an average guy in that spot makes 4 to 5% you know, pressure rate. An elite player is, like, up in that 8 to 9% pressure rate. So what has happened there? You know, it's like, you know, at least in previous years, like, it was just effective, like, maybe not all the big splash plays, not getting all the sacks, but was a guy that you could kind of, like, knew was going to show up and be, you know, accountable every game. Is he going to play this week? And if he doesn't, like, do you see him being a big part of this playoff run if that goes, or is he kind of relegated to that, you know, second, third spot and, like, kind of a rotation player now?
It's very strange. Like, we get it. We can say the attention to Parsons, this, that, but I mean, he had 7.5 sacks in the first, like, 8 games of the year. We were on pace to have by far his best season of his career, hit 10 sacks for the first time. Like, everything was looking great, and he's always been good against the run, and that was there in the beginning of the season. And now even that seems to be kind of disappeared. Over the last 4 weeks, he has a total of 6 tackles. He's just – but what's weird also is that, like, Rashawn Gary was always known for being that guy with, like, the nonstop motor, right? He's always posting the clips of his workouts. But now, like, you see when quarterbacks get outside the pocket, he's, like, just, like, sort of jogging behind them. Like, he doesn't really seem to be – and, yes, when Parsons was playing, Micah Parsons could look – anyone make them look slow –
true, but it was the effort, right? Like, it wasn't like Rashawn Gary was pushing it and Micah Parsons was just faster. It was like kind of standing tall doing jogs, and Micah Parsons is like, you know, like full speed trying to get to him. Like, it was like in it, like it was his life, like, to just go and try to make a play.
Exactly. It's the effort. And it's strange because when you have something like Micah Parsons going down, you would think Rashawn Gary being, you know, the next man up, sort of, to increase the effort and to be like, all right, I have to be the guy now. I have to make these plays. And like you said, we're not talking about 2-3 sacks a game, but get pressure on the quarterback. If you could get a sack, great. If you can make some tackles for loss in the run game, which is something that we used to rely on you for, that would also be great. But, like, all of that seems to have disappeared. So I hope he can find some sort of success in the playoffs. But if not, I don't think they should continue to just trot him out there just because his name is Rashawn Gary. And truth is, they haven't been. He's barely playing, you know, over 50% of the snaps. So this week, outside of Trevon Diggs, the person I'm most excited to see is Colin Oliver, rookie fifth-round pick. He is someone that I was really excited about when they drafted. I was disappointed that it's taken him this long to get on the field. But when they drafted him, he was injured, so it wasn't like some sort of setback. But I want to see – look, you can't expect a rookie fifth-round pick in his first – few career games to change your whole defense, but maybe he can add just some level of juice to this pass rush that I think they desperately need.
Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Well, while you have Colin Oliver, let's just do a quick little brief scouting report on it then. Eli, if you liked him so much, like, this is a pass rush that we knew that no one else could be Micah Parsons, but I don't think we quite knew that the top 3 leaders in sacks this year were going to be Micah Parsons, who hasn't played in however many weeks, Rashawn Gary, who hasn't played in he has played, he just stunk the entire time since October, and Devontae Wyatt, who also hasn't played in a handful of weeks now, too. They don't have a single player over 3 sacks that isn't named one of those 3 guys. How can Colin Oliver come in and make an impact if he's going to?
Well, I think you just sort of said it, right? It's like, it's not like there's anyone playing above him that you feel like you must play him every single snap, every single third down. Like, at this point, sort of like with Diggs, it's like, what do you really have to lose to at least try it, right? I think it's nice that it's not a playoff game where that would be a little riskier to be like, all right, Colin Oliver, go out there for 25 snaps in your first career game in the playoffs. This is the perfect week to just put him out there as much as he can handle, let him play every third down, let him play every clear passing down situation, 2-minute drill, and just see what he can do. Because I do think, you know, Kingsley and Igbari's had a nice season, But yep. We all know, you know, he's more of like a run stopper. He'll make the occasional play on the quarterback, but he's not an explosive pass rusher. Same goes for Lucas Van Ness. Without Devontae Wyatt in the middle, you're not really getting any pass rush from the middle of the line anymore. So if your whole pass rush is reliant on bringing blitzes with Edgar Cooper and Quay Walker or Evan Williams or Bullard from the slot, you can't win like that. It's just very difficult to win games when your whole pass rush is blitzes from guys that aren't on your front four. So Colin Oliver, I mean, when he was in college, he had, you know, 11 and a half sacks in 2021. Obviously, that was a while ago. And then since then, 5, 6, and then his final year only played 2 games, but 2 good games. He also had 15 and a half tackles for loss in 2 of his college seasons. So he can make plays at or behind the line of scrimmage. He is a very, you know, kind of that quick speed rusher that the Packers have not had until they got Micah Parsons for years. That was kind of the guy I think, I mean, myself and a lot of Packer fans were begging them to draft instead of this bigger bodied 3-4 almost defensive end hybrid outside linebacker. So you got to try just in this kind of a game, right? Like you could just throw things at the wall and see what sticks, because if you go out there and you lose, yes, it's not great, obviously, to go into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak. But it doesn't affect your seeding. It really doesn't matter. You should look at this almost like a preseason game. Play everyone who hasn't really gotten the chance to play and just see what they can do. And if even one person shines and you realize, you know what, okay, we can use this guy in the playoffs now, it was worth it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think as the dust settles, I just want to throw this out to you. Like, Micah Parsons trade, obviously huge trade. Micah Parsons, instant impact, amazing player, generational type guy. But are we going to look at that trade and be like, gosh, like, giving up Kenny Clark was actually a really big deal to what this defense ended up being, especially when Micah went down, right? And like not having that veteran, that guy in the middle of that defense to shore it up. Because since Micah's gone down and not being able to fit him into the middle of the defense and move him around, now these teams, like the last couple of weeks, they're just running right up the middle of our defense and guys aren't able to hold on. Do you think like not having a guy like Kenny Clark ended up being like Micah Parsons covered up a lot of that, but kind of this defense, I think, missed Kenny Clark a lot more than we probably thought when Micah Parsons was doing all of his thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. Kenny Clark, obviously just a great Packer for many, many years. And I hope one day, you know, he retires a Packer and all that. And yeah, I mean, they definitely miss him for sure now, but I do think before Devontae Wyatt went down, you didn't feel it as much. I think definitely since Wyatt went down, it's like, look, I think Colby Wooden has had a nice year. I've always been a fan of Carl Brooks, but those are like thinner defensive linemen. Like those are not your big beef in the middle. And Kenny Clark was that. Devontae Wyatt was that. Now you don't have either of them. They bring in Jordan Riley from the Giants, who flashed a little bit. He tears his Achilles. Now he's out for the year. They bring in Quinton Bohanna from the Seahawks. They've already cut him. So it's like they're trying things there. But when you're in week 18, right, obviously you can't make a trade. There's only so much talent or lack of talent left on the free agent wire. So they're kind of just, I think, hoping to find something they could do there in the middle. But no doubt, not having Kenny Clark right now definitely hurts. I obviously don't regret the trade in any way because you can never predict why it's injury and all that. But, yeah, having Kenny Clark, not only as a run stopper, though, I mean, Kenny Clark, as far as defensive tackles go, is a good pass rusher and just a great leader. So definitely missing him right now.
Yeah, for sure. Eli, how concerned are you that Jordan Love's next action will be a playoff game on the road, in all likelihood in Chicago, in one of their biggest games in recent memory? And I think that's where you are, right? You're in enemy territory over there. He's not going to get in the action. I think most people probably think, yeah, don't play him, not worth it. But there is like some audience that's like, get him a couple reps, right? He didn't get to play the week before against Baltimore. He gets knocked out against Chicago the week before that. Like, how concerned are you that Jordan Love's going to have to just come from out of concussion protocol, which he has cleared officially, and not play a game for 2.5-ish weeks, and then go out and try to win a playoff game on the road?
I'll be honest, I was always kind of a guy who didn't like the idea of completely benching players in week 18 or week 17 a few years ago. But I don't know. I think as time has gone on, I've gone away from that opinion as much. I think, number one, in practice, you can simulate, obviously, yes, it's not a game, but you can do your best to simulate a game-like atmosphere. But also, I just think Jordan Love, he's so poised and cool, calm, collected. We're like, I don't think like the mental aspect of I've missed a couple games, I'm coming back. Like, yeah, you know what? Maybe the Packers don't start out fast. Maybe I could see that. But I don't think I'm overly concerned about Love, you know, shaking off Ross. He's not missed a month. It hasn't been, you know, a stint on IR and he's missed four or five games. He's missed a game and a half. And it's unfortunate, but also, again, he's not coming back from a lower body injury or a shoulder injury. Like, hopefully, you know, he cleared the concussion protocol. We should assume he's at 100%. No reason not to assume that. He's had a lot of success against this Bears team. He missed the, you know, obviously got injured in the last one, but in basically every game he's played against the Bears, he's played very well, even if he doesn't put up crazy numbers, but he's moved the ball effectively and just happens to be Matt LaFleur likes to run the ball near the goal line. You know, a lot of people, oh, Jordan Love, he only has this many touchdowns, this, that. It's like, you watch the Packer games, who's generally driving them down the field? And yeah, when you have a running back like Josh Jacobs and you're at the 3-yard line, of course you're going to run the ball. That's the smart thing to do. But Jordan Love is playing, in my opinion, the best football of his career this season. And maybe the first quarter isn't the prettiest, but overall, I'm not too concerned about Love not playing this week.
What do you think this week, as we go to the offensive side of the ball, like what can we look at offensively, you know, players, scheme, like things that that we can hope for out of this offense to just kind of, you know, give us a mindset of like where this team is heading, like what maybe into the playoffs, but for the future of this program as well, you know, yeah, with Matthew Golden, some of these guys that might have opportunities to get some more focused action. Who are you looking at on the offensive side of the ball?
So, like you said, obviously Matthew Golden. I mean, if there's ever a week to just say, all right, you're running 90% of the routes this week, and he's going to be playing with his quarterback from college, Clay Entune, so they already have some connection there. Like, please, Matt LaFleur, just design the offense, at least the passing game, around getting the ball to Matthew Golden this week. It's like, I get it. Watson's been playing great. Since Reed's been back, he's looked very good. Dobbs has had his moments. Wicks has had his moments. There was obviously Kraft for most of the season. But you drafted this guy to be that guy, and he doesn't need to be the wide receiver one, but I do think you need to use him because every time you throw him the ball, he seems to catch it, as long as it's catchable. Like, he's not dropping it. He's not running the wrong routes. Like, we've seen Watson have drop issues early in his career. Dobbs has had – Wicks has obviously had drop issues last year. That has not been an issue for Golden. So there's no, like, thing you could say, we drafted him the first, but I get it. He needs to, like, develop more. He looks pretty ready to go as an NFL receiver. Obviously, he's going to continue to get better and develop, but you got to get him going this week. I'm also excited to see Jordan Morgan at left tackle, assuming Rashid Walker, maybe he starts but doesn't play the whole game. Like, Morgan, he's played somewhat admirably at right tackle this year. Obviously, right guard is just, it did not work, and he's a left tackle. So to any fan who's like, I can't believe Jordan Morgan's not a great right guard, it's like, you didn't draft him to be a right guard, so you can't be surprised by that. But I want to see what looks like a left tackle. We have to assume Rashid Walker is going to leave in free agency this year. And the Packers spent a first-round pick on him. They spent a second-round pick on Anthony Belton. They need these guys to become parts of this offensive line they can rely on. For sure. All of a sudden, in this year's draft, you don't have a first-round pick. You're going to have to spend a second- or third-round pick on another tackle. And it's just like a lot of assets, a lot of, you know, picks to put into the offensive line when you drafted these guys. You're playing them out of position, and they're not looking great. Well, it's like, how about you play them at the position you drafted them to play, and maybe they'll look better.
Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report, joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. All right, made it 20 minutes into this. On a scale of Nathan Peterman to Matt Flynn, where are you putting Clayton Toon on that list?
It's tough because I feel like in a neutral matchup, I would like to lean closer to Matt Flynn because I just think Matt LaFleur can design his offense so well that, you know, not anyone, but you put in a quarterback who has average arm talent and understands how to read a defense on some level, you should have some success. But I mean, this Brian Flores defense is, I mean, I think it's top three in football. What they're doing right now is absolutely incredible. I think they've given up two or three passing touchdowns in the last 8 or 9 weeks. Like, it's absolutely unreal what they're doing. They blitz nonstop. They have two good edge rushers. They blitz from the secondary. They blitz from the linebackers. It's going to be as challenging as it gets for a guy making his first start with a new team on the road in Minnesota. So, like, I like to lean towards optimism in general, but it wouldn't surprise me if he just gets knocked around a bit. And it's not at a fault of his own. This is just an incredible defense and a defense that knows how to get after the quarterback. My only hope is that Matt LaFleur, number one, you got to get the run game going to slow down the pass rush. Like, that's for sure. Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks. It's a shame Marshawn Lloyd isn't healthy, right? I mean, this would be the perfect game to unleash Marshawn Lloyd. But get the run game going. Let him get some play action. He could use his legs a bit. So try to, you know, get him out of the pocket, rolling out. Kind of like what we saw, honestly, Caleb Williams against the Packers in the first matchup. He had like 6 or 7 true dropbacks that whole game. Every snap was a play action boot, moving the pocket, getting outside the pocket, and that is going to make it harder for the pass rushers to get to him. You cannot just have him standing in the pocket like a statue all game, or it could get ugly.
Probably going to see about 14 jet sweeps between Jaden Reed and Savion Williams.
No, that's Tommy's favorite play. This is what's going to happen. It's like, it's going to be the Matt Flynn game, and it's going to be Musgrave and Golden just catching every ball.
Just
like,
bombs all
just
day.
Everyone who's in the actual offense that can't do anything when it's the starting quarterback. And then, I'm gonna lose
he's gonna
my
find
mind.
Him. He's gonna unlock him. Those
Dude,
guys are gonna be unlocked.
Like, I swear, I'm gonna lose my
Will
mind.
Will you lose your mind when, if they just go off?
Well, Eli, like, I think those are bad looks for Matt LaFleur when Malik Willis is doing well in the offense and consistently doing that, and people are still clamoring for more with Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love is the plan. Matt LaFleur, if you want to be a part of the plan, figure it out with Jordan Love. Do not have all-time coaching performances games with Malik Willis, who before you got him, he had 0 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Yeah,
he seems to somehow pull out the best bag of tricks and his greatest game plans when it's Malik Willis. Like, we saw last year against the Colts and against the Titans. We saw it, obviously, last week and the second half of even the Bears game. I mean, look, not to take away credit from Malik Willis, he looks fantastic. The way he runs the ball is great. But I think the biggest thing, at least this year, it seems like every game the Packers have lost or have struggled in has been because LaFleur has not just given the keys to Jordan Love and said, go win the game. Just go and do it. We saw against Detroit, from the first snap of the game, he said, Jordan Love, you are winning the game this week. We're not running it on 3rd and 1 every time. On 4th down, we throw near the red zone. We're throwing it.
Like, they unlocked
him. You paid Jordan Love the most money in NFL history. So clearly you think he's a very good quarterback, and yet you're like dancing around trying to avoid actually using him, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. You have to let him just unleash him. Just let him go. Right now the offensive line is pretty much atrocious at run blocking. Let's be real. Like, Josh Jacobs has like 8 1-yard carries a game. Yes, he'll break a couple for 12. He'll break one for 15. But they're not blocking in the run game at all right now. They're doing a little better in the pass game. And Jordan Love is also very good at avoiding sacks, not necessarily mobility-wise. He just happens to be one of the lowest sack rates since he's been a starter. You got to let him just take – and also, let's be real, if you're not scoring 28, 27-plus points in every playoff game, you're going to lose because this defense is giving up at least 24 to 30 points a game the rest of the way. That's just what's going to happen with no pass rush and a pretty weak secondary. So if there's ever a time, you just have to unleash Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur has to do it right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think sometimes having too many options, I know in our house, when you have too many options of like making decisions, you try to like piece it all together, and then you end up not making a good, you know, always the right decision. I think with a great quarterback like Jordan Love, sometimes with even when Aaron Rodgers was there, it's like, I'm trying to get too much going with this offense. And when Malik Willis is in there, it's like, well, this is what he does well, and let's just lean into it. And it becomes it's odd because it becomes simple, but it seems more creative in a way.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting. Last question for you. We'll let you go. If the Bears lose, Eagles win, like, where would you rather see this Packers team, and where do you think they have the best chance, going to Chicago or going to Philadelphia in that first playoff game?
To be honest, I really do think they could go into either stadium and win, but I do think they have a better shot at beating the Bears. Like, the Eagles at times look really, I mean, offensively, they look so disjointed, and they just don't seem to have a plan. But the Eagles' defense is ferocious. Vic Fangio has those guys playing incredibly well. And I would be nervous to go into Philly, where you might keep it competitive, but you're going to score 13 points, maybe 17 points, and that's probably not going to win it for you. I think like, let's be real. The Packers won 1 in 95% of the two games against the Bears this year. If it wasn't for some unbelievable collapse at the end of that second game, they're 2-0 against the Bears this year, and it's a totally different narrative. I think the Packers are also, if they go back to Chicago, they will have a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to want to obviously make up for what just happened a couple weeks ago. So will it be more stressful? Will it be higher pressure? For sure. But I do think they have a better shot going back to Chicago.
Eli, thank you, man. I appreciate you popping on. Short notice a little bit today, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where can we find all your great work if people want to keep up with you?
Yeah, as always, everything you'll find on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL. But my writing over at PackerReport.com, I should have something up probably early next week. And I haven't tweeted it out yet, but I will once again be going to the Senior Bowl at the end of the month, which I'm very excited about, covering the Senior Bowl for the Packer Report. So if you're into the draft, you can always hit me up on Twitter, any draft thoughts and all that. And I'll start be putting out more draft content, both on Twitter and on Packer Report over the next month or two.
Is it a tough mock draft year with the Packers not having a first round pick?
It's depressing is what it is. It's like, all right, I'm just going to like start in the second round. I'm going to watch like 50 players I love go off the board. It is tougher, but what's kind of funny is that I think Brian Gutekunst has had a lot more success in rounds 2 through 5 than in round 1. So I'm not thinking, you know, these are wasted drafts. These are two very big drafts coming up.
Good point. Eli, thank you so much, man. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report. Follow him on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL. Joining the Mason Crosby Show on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Got to get to some NFL picks on the other side. Mace, you ready to go?
I think so. I don't know. These are going to be tough to pick, some of these games this weekend.
We suck. We are so bad at picking.
We are really bad at
picking. I'll see what's
games.
Going on with Thunder and if he's popping on or not, too. It's the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.